Come on, would you help me welcome all the campuses and Facebook Live and all of you that are joining us online or at a campus, we welcome you today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. Let me take just a minute to share with you, I'm starting a brand new series next week. And it's called Sights and Sounds. We're going to be looking at, in fact, I'm going to do this for 4 weeks. It's actually going to take us in to the first Sunday of January as we look at what we refer to as the Christmas story, but it's so much more than that. And I'm going to be talking about, basically, let me just tell you, this whole series is going to be about vision, okay? What is it you see? And we're going to be using Joseph and Mary and Simeon and the wise men kind of to set it up each week. But I went away this past week for a study break and just really work these through, and I think I'm as excited about this series as anything I've done all year long. So take these cards. Everybody got a card, all the campuses, you got a card. I should have multiple. Keep one of them for yourself. Pray for pastor that I'll do a really good job every time I preach, but take the rest of them and give them away. Invite people to be with you. People come to church on Christmas time, so invite them to be here the next few weeks, and I promise you it'll be life-changing. Now, here's what I know. You ready? Here's what I know. If you stick it in your Bible and leave it there, it won't do any good. I'm pretty deep already, right? Theology's working here today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are so good and that your mercy endures forever. And so we pray this morning that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word, that you would speak to each and every one of us today, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would guide us and direct us and lead us today, Lord, into everything that you have for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, today I'm going to talk about, we've been talking about intersections out of the book of John. We're going back there today. John chapter 7 is where we are today. And we're going to be talking on this subject. Here's my subject for today, and that is taking a drink. Now, that'll get your attention, won't it? I really wanted to entitle it, I Need a Drink. But I was afraid it would throw some of you for me to entitle that, so I'm just going to entitle it, Taking a Drink. So, now let me read some scripture to you so you don't go too far afield there, okay? John chapter 7 and verse 37, beginning there. On the last day and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, he wants everybody to hear him, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, verse 39 says, by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, the setting of this whole passage is there's a feast that's going on. It's a religious ceremony that everybody has gathered together at. It's hot. People are thirsty. And Jesus stands up. You know, there's no water fountain to go to. If you're going to get a drink, you got to go to the well. You got to drop a bucket down. You got to pull it up, that whole scenario. And so Jesus stands up in the midst of this parched crowd, and he yells out at every one of them, if you're thirsty, I got some water for you. Now, how many of you believe he had everybody's attention? Right? In that moment, he got everybody's attention. And he began to talk to them about this living water. He began to talk to them, the Bible says, about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's, as I was preparing for this, I began to reflect back upon the past several years. And when I say several, I'm talking about a lot of time. Back in the 60s and 70s, for those of you who can remember that far back, and for those of you who aren't that old, you've read about it, okay? So I just have to tell you a little bit more. But in the 60s and 70s, our nation was in turmoil. We were in the midst of a war that nobody wanted to be involved in. We were resisting the draft. We were having college campuses that were erupting in all kind of disorder and civil disobedience. The civil rights movement was in some of its zenith state at that point, and as Martin Luther King and others were trying to get America to finally wake up to the reality that all men are created equal, and all those things were going on in our nation, and our nation was in a mess, and there were riots that were happening. Some of you remember the Detroit riots and those things as literally we burned whole parts of cities to the ground during that time. And in the midst of that, though, God began to do something. There was an Episcopal priest named Dennis Bennett who received the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there began to be, not just in traditional Spirit-filled churches, but there began to be a movement that was referred to as the Charismatic Movement that began to move through the Catholic Church, through the Episcopal Church, through the Methodist Church, and on and on and on. And there began to be a revival that began to affect our nation. And if you look back at the history of what happened over the next 10 to 20 years, you begin to see our nation turning back to the things of God, and we begin to have an economy that went this way. We began to have a lot of great things happen, even in the midst of what seemed destructive. I have come today to tell you that we are in the place of needing another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That we are once again as a nation in a mess, and we don't know where to turn, and the politicians don't have the answers, but there is a God in the heavenlies who said, if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, I will make you full. He is the God who is able to show up in our situation today and to bring a revival. We just sang here at the North Campus that it's time to prophesy revival. It's time to begin to declare that the power of the Holy Spirit is coming back to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want to say to you, and I want to just be real honest for a minute with you, and I want you to get this. By and large, and come on, let's just pretend it's us today, and there's nobody else here but us, all right? You good with that? It's just us. Nobody else is here. It's just us. Let me tell you a secret. I know you don't know this, but let me bring you in on the secret. The church is ineffective in America on impacting our nation. Secret. I don't tell anybody. Don't let the word get out. But we gather week in and week out in our holy huddles, and we talk about how wonderful it's going to be when we get over there. But we aren't doing very much to make a difference here. And when I begin to read Scripture, what I find is that the church only makes a difference when the power and the presence of the Almighty God shows up in our meetings, in our midst, and in our lives, and we go out to make a difference in our communities, at the place that we work, and all the things that God has called us to, that we go out as salt and light to our nation. There's got to be a hungering and a thirsting. Somebody's got to go back to Joel's bar. You know Joel's bar? Here's Joel's bar. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I'm still seeing visions, by the way. And upon... I ain't old yet, boys. And upon my servants and my handmaiden, I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord. It is time that we step back up to the bar and we said, Lord, I'm ready for another drink. I'm ready for a little bit more of the Holy Spirit. I'm ready for some more power. I'm ready for some more anointing. I'm ready to see signs and wonders and miracles. Come on, somebody ought to be happy about this. I am ready to see your spirit being poured out mightily and powerfully all over again. When you begin to read the book of John, you find that Jesus and the scripture talks time and time again about this baptism. Hebrews 6:2 says that there is a doctrine of baptisms. Not baptism, baptisms. That there's more than one baptism. There's not just a baptism of water, but that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist said, he said, I didn't know who he was, but God had told me that on this one that I saw the Holy Spirit descending, that when it came on him, that he was the one who was going to baptize. There's that word. He was going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Word of God says, Jesus, standing at this point, said to them, listen, if you're thirsty, if you're ready for another drink, if you're ready to come back and get a little bit more, I know you got a little bit. I know you got some. I know there's something in your heart. But is there anybody today who would say, you know what? I'm thankful for what I got, but I'd like just a little bit more. I'd like just a little bit more of what God has, what His power is, and what He can do in my life. John 4:10, Jesus talking to the woman at the well, he said to her, if you knew the gift that was here, he said, if you knew who I was, he said, you would be asking and I would give you water that's from the inside. And he said, it would be indwelling within you. Here's the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just come on you, it comes in you. Jesus said there in that passage I read, he said it's going to become like a river of living water that's inside of you. There's something that's going to happen. There's something that's going to transform and transfer into your life when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes on to say in John the 14th chapter, he said, I'm going to go away, but he said, I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send an advocate. I'm going to send, the scripture says, a paraclete, one who is a helper who is going to help you in the midst of what you're going through. Let me just ask you a question. Is there any time in your life you just need a little help? Come on, anybody? Would you just look at your neighbor and say, you need some help? Come on, tell them. You know you wanted to tell them. Just say, you need some help. Come on, tell your other neighbor. Tell them too. Don't leave anybody out. You just need some help. Man, I need help. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need the help of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the glory of the Holy Spirit. I need the life change of the Holy Spirit. I need what the Spirit of God brings into my life. John 14 goes on to say that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you. He's a teacher. If you don't know what you're supposed to do, if you don't know what the understanding is in that moment, you're just able to say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Let me know. Bring me to that place of fullness in you. John 15, the scripture says that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will testify of Jesus. He's going to talk about Jesus. He's not going to leave Him out of the picture. He's going to talk about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And then John, the 16th chapter, says that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I need every one of those things in my life. I need a teacher. I need a guide. I need a helper. Amen? I need a sign from on high in my life. I want us to get to the place that when the politicians get in a mess, they don't look at each other, they look at the church. Amen? No, come on, if you'll go back and study a little bit of history, you'll find out that there have been times in the history of our nation where when the nation got in a mess, the politicians came to the church, and now the church has become so politically correct. Can I just say it? The church has become so anemic and so weak, and we are afraid to say anything that would offend anybody, and we've got to come to the place of understanding that God is in the business of life change, and He wants us to be filled with His Spirit and His power and His anointing, and He wants us to make a difference in our society. If we are called to be salt, if we are called to be light, then we have got to have the baptism, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's down inside of us has got to be operating. The Word of God says that the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. In other words, that it shows us things and it gives us kind of word pictures of what the future is going to be. One of those is found in the book of Genesis. We won't read it, but I'll take a moment and tell you about it. Genesis chapter 24 is the story of where Abraham decides Isaac needs a wife. And he says to his servant, he says, here's what I want you to do, is I want you to go to my people and I want you to find a wife for my son. The picture there is this, is that Abraham is a picture of the father. Of course, Isaac is the son, and the servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that before the father sent the servant, before Abraham sent the servant, that he got 10 camels and he loaded them with gifts. Come on, somebody's going to get it. And the word of God says that when he sent those camels and he sent that servant, that when the servant got there, that he found Rebekah. And Rebekah did some things and she did some work. But finally what happened is the servant said, here, let me give you some earrings for your ears. Let me give you a necklace for your neck. Let me give you some gold. Let me give you some silver. But finally the servant said, but let me help you. Everything that you see here is just a down payment of what the father has if you'll come back with me. In other words, if you will leave where you've been. See, I didn't say you didn't have anything. You are the bride of Christ. You are the one who has been chosen. You are the one who has been picked out. God has put his stamp upon you. He has looked at you and says, you're the one that I want. But what he is saying to you today is, but I got a little bit more I'd like to give you. I would like to take you from where you are, and I would like to bring you into the fullness. The Bible says that the power of the Holy Spirit is just a little bit of a down payment of what God wants to give his children. He wants you to leave where you've been. Now, that's the whole crux of this message, is that you've got to be willing to say, I know I got this. I know I'm chosen. I know I'm the bride. I know I've been picked out. I know I am the one, but am I willing to leave the place that I have been and go to somewhere that I have never been before to receive something that I've never received before, because I want everything that my Father has for me in my life. Now see, this is a moment. Just understand and go with me for a second. This is the moment you can be a hog. Come on, it's okay to be a spiritual hog, all right? It's okay to say, I want everything. Listen, we're in the Christmas season right now. We're going to eat our weight at certain things. You know, we're going to eat everything. This is today, right now. You are in a place where the buffet is out and the Holy Spirit is saying, I've got something for you. I want to pour out my presence upon you. I want to make a difference in your life. And all you got to do is say, Lord, I want everything. Come on, how many of you today would say, with those of you watching at our campus, how many of you would say today, I want everything God has for me? Come on, that's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. Anything that God has, anything that the Father has, I want it for myself. And I don't, you know what? I'll push you out of the way. Don't get in my way. If it's my, you know, Pastor, you're not being very nice. I don't care. See that? I don't want you getting my blessing. I don't want you receiving what my Father said is mine. If he said it's mine, I'm going to get it. I'm going to push you out of the way. I'm going to get there so I can get everything that my Father said is mine. See, in the book of Acts, the Word of God says that Jesus met with the disciples and he told them, he said, hey, you go and wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Now, these guys had been following Jesus for 3.5 years. They knew, they had seen miracles. They had even performed miracles. The Bible said they had healed the sick. They had cast out devils. They had done all kind of things. But Jesus looked at them and he said, look, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and I want you to wait until you are endued with power. He said, I want you to wait for the dynamite to come. I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon you. Acts chapter 2 said, and suddenly on the day of Pentecost, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And it said there appeared like tongues of fire that set upon each of them, and they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. In that moment, something happened as God gave them a brand new language, as he placed the power of his Spirit within them. What God was doing was he was saying, listen, I'm going to move you out of the old and I'm going to give you something new. He said, I'm going to give you a new language. I'm going to give you a prayer language. And the Bible lets us know in the book of 1 Corinthians. I don't have time to talk about it, but 1 Corinthians tells us over and over again why we should pray in the Spirit, why we should pray in tongues. It said that it edifies, it encourages, it strengthens us, it empowers us. It gives us all of these reasons of why it's there. And the Word of God says that that happened on the day of Pentecost. And it said people gathered from everywhere. And they said, something's going on up there, because we hear these people who are uneducated. They don't know any other language than the Galilean language, and they're speaking our home language and our dialect, and we understand what's happening. The book of Acts, the 10th chapter, said Peter went to the household of Cornelius, who is a Gentile. He is a Roman centurion. And the Word of God says that Peter begins to preach to them. And as he is preaching, here's what the Scripture says. As Peter yet spoke the Word of God, the Holy Spirit came on them. And here's what the disciples said. It said, and we know they received the Holy Spirit because we heard them speak with tongues. We heard that new language. We heard that spirit language. We heard that prayer language that began to come out of them as they began to worship and declare the glory of God. And I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, Pastor, you know, I love this church, but why do you have to talk about that speaking in tongues? Here's why I got to talk about that speaking in tongues, because the Bible talks about it. Because the Word of God tells us that God's got some gifts, and I got to be willing to leave that old mindset. I've got to be willing to leave that old place that said all of that has passed away and it's no longer relevant today. And I've got to be willing to say, I am not just going to get a little down payment, but I'm going to get everything that the Father has for me. I'm going to receive every blessing, every benefit, every free and perfect gift that comes from the Father above. And the Word of God says that they said, hey, we got to baptize these people. We got to put them in water because they have received the Holy Spirit just like we did at the beginning. Remember again, Hebrews 6:2, doctrine of baptisms. Baptism is important. Water baptism is important. Good place for amen, so I'm gonna give you another chance. We do this often. Ready? Water baptism is important. Spirit baptism is important. Amen. These are the doctrines of baptisms. Now, let's settle this. When you come to Jesus Christ, you acknowledge Him in your heart. The Bible says you're justified. You confess with your mouth. The Bible says you're saved. But the Bible doesn't say stop there. Every place that people acknowledge Jesus Christ and come into relationship with Him in the book of Acts, they follow Him in the waters of baptism, and they follow Him in Holy Spirit baptism. Go read it. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19 says, and Paul, seeing certain disciples of John, said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Now watch what I'm going to say here. Since you believe, that means you can be a believer, you can be in faith with God, you can be the bride, you can be Rebecca, but you still hadn't got everything the Father has for you. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They said, we don't know what you're talking about. Now what's the next question he said to them? Paul said, well then, how are you baptized? They said, under John's baptism. He said, John baptized as saying, unto repentance, saying that there's one who's coming after me who is mightier than I am, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The next verse says that he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. He laid hands on them and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. Here's how you prove a hypothesis in Scripture. The Word of God says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Well, Pastor, I believe that I have the Spirit of God. I do too. I believe you do. I am not questioning whether you have the Spirit of God. What I am saying to you is, you haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There is something. Why did Jesus tell the disciples who were followers, who were saved, who were doing miracles, signs, and wonders, why did he say, hey guys, you go wait until you are endued with power. The word there is dunamis, power from on high. See, it's the understanding here that God wants to give us power. How many of you like to have just a little more power? See, again, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. I like power in my car. The very first car I had a 455 four-barrel in it. You should not give a 15-year-old a 455-horsepower motor because he will find out how fast it will go. And I've been, okay, I'm not telling the rest of that because we got too many policemen sitting in this church, all right? Let's just say I'm still trying to figure out how fast it will go, all right? Power. God says, I want to give you power. One of the greatest, let's do this. One of the greatest sources of power is electricity. We've harnessed it. We've learned how to use it. We've learned how to be productive with it. You see, one of the things that I get sometimes, people say, well, Pastor, I've heard about that baptism of the Holy Spirit, but people just get crazy and they get weird. Yeah, they do. I'm the first to tell you. I've seen some of the craziest stuff in churches. I just wanted to slap somebody. In Jesus' name, of course. Pow! Bless you in Jesus' name. Right? But you know what? Just because every once in a while somebody gets shocked or killed by electricity doesn't mean we want to do away with the power. Right? One of the ways that power, electrical power, is produced is through a system of dams and water. And most of you have seen this. Most of you have seen the lake and then the dam, and then you know that the water runs down and runs into the river and creates an interesting thing. In fact, one of the things that is so interesting is that if you look on the lake side, on the side that's above where the dam is, it's very placid. It's very kind of level. It's real easy. But when that water begins to come out on the other side, come on, how many of you have seen it? You seen it? When that water comes out on the other side, you better be moving because that water is moving. There is something powerful when it comes out. I believe it's an analogy, if I can use that term today, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how you and I receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'm going to have them bring a real quick. Here's what it looks like. On the left side, there's the reservoir. It's the intake. That's when you come into relationship with God. He's there. You're full of the Lord. That's what he said. I'm going to give you rivers of living water. It's in your life. But then there's a gate. And that gate keeps it all back until a certain moment. And if you've ever been at a dam, when they get ready to, they will blow a whistle and they'll make an announcement and they'll let you know that they're getting ready to lift that gate because something's getting ready to happen. And that water, when that gate gets lifted, that water begins to come down. And it hits that, and I've been trying to figure out the correct pronunciation, and both of them are right. It hits that turbine or turbine. It's according if you're from the south or if you're from the north. It's turbine in most places. In this part of the world, it's turbine, all right? So it hits that turbine, and it begins to spin it. And as that turbine begins to spin, it begins to move a huge generator that's above it. And that generator begins to produce electricity that then begins to be released out of the powerhouse into the wires and into transformers and begins to make lives changed. Now here's where we're at, and come back to me. Here's where we're at. The whole process is this. You've been filled with the water. The gate is your mouth. Your tongue is the turbine. And as you begin, the Bible says this about your tongue. The Bible says there's power of life and death in the tongue. The book of James says that the tongue is so powerful, it's like the rudder of a ship, that wherever that rudder turns, the whole ship follows. It's like the bit of a horse's bridle that it turns the whole horse, and yet it's so small. Some people say, well, why did God use speaking in tongues as a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I got a real easy answer. One is, he's God and he can. All right. Second reason is this. Those who study the physiology of the body tell us this. Whatever your mouth says, your body responds to. If you say, I'm feeling sick, your body immediately goes into overdrive to make you sicker. Study it. I'm not making this up. So when God chose the tongue and he chose a language that we did not know, he said, I'm going to bypass everything man understands and I'm going to come into his heart. I'm going to come into that soulish part of his life and I'm going to transform him. Remember what he said? Rivers of living water inside. And so as you are willing to say, Lord, I want everything you got. I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that what happens is that the Spirit of God comes. The Word of God says, talking to those of us who are natural, it says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to them who ask him the Holy Spirit? So see, it's a no-brainer to me. People say, well, Pastor, that's of the devil. Can I ask you a question? Why would God start something and then give it away to the devil? He's not that kind of a God. He wouldn't just go, okay, I started, but you can have it now. He's not that kind of a God. He wants us to understand that there's power that's available to us. There's power that God wants to release to you today. But it's your choice. You can say, no, I got this reservoir here, and I got the 10 camels, and they're loaded down, and I got some earrings and some necklaces, and I got a little gold. I'm feeling pretty good. Or you can say, no, I'm going to open my mouth wide. I'm going to let God fill it. I'm going to begin to allow my tongue to speak words. I don't have to understand them. It's not my knowledge. It's my faith. How did you get saved? Faith. You got saved believing in a Jesus you've never seen who died on a cross you never saw. If you can do that, why can't you take the next step and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that this same Jesus said, I'm going to give? It really is that simple. And so my challenge to us today is this. Are we going to settle for a portion of what our Father has for us? Or do we say, wait a minute, I want everything that God has? There are some of you today who you received that gift years ago, but it's been so long and you need a refilling. You need to allow that water to flow through you again. There are some of you who you're saved, you know Jesus Christ, but it's all on this side, and it's nice, and it's placid, and it's good, but God says, if you'll let me, I'll come into your life, and I'll bring some dynamite, and all of a sudden, those people who are around you will begin to know that there's something different about your life, and I don't know who it is. But I know in the first service here at North Campus, there were 10 people who just like that received their gift. Other campuses, our Cleveland campus had 5 receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know that it's a gift that God has for you. It's your gift. All you've got to do is say, I'm going to leave where I've been, and I'm going to walk into everything that God has for me. Amen.